This isn't just a video title. It's an invitation to grasp a profound biblical understanding of the unstoppable love of God and His constant call for you to be set free. In this video, a key theme is going to be unraveled. The unyielding offer of the deliverance and salvation from God, even for those who've turned away. And the message is clear. God's love remains unshakable, His arms open wide and ready to embrace and deliver. The only requisites? Repentance and faith, which guide you into a life of love and obedience. So what's holding you back? Let's break down the walls that are hindering you from fully accepting God's love and deliverance. Repentance is the first step, and that's a turning of the heart. Faith is the key, the unwavering trust that God's love and salvation are always within reach, especially right now. Together, they pave the way to a life of victory, purpose, love, and obedience. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world.
God's Resistance.
Welcome to God's Resistance. Glad that you've tuned in this morning with this episode. We are going to be looking at Romans chapter 11. We're going to be looking at the verses 19 through to the end of the chapter. And so we're just going to dive right in. The previous verse in verse 18 of Romans 11, it said, "And do not boast against the branches, but if you boast, it is not you that bears the root, but the root bears you." So that was helping the Gentiles to realize you can't boast against the Jewish people, even though right now they've rejected their Messiah. They've rejected God's covenant as He was trying to lead them into. You don't just reject them, push them off, and think that you're better than them. God has a plan even for those that rejected Him, the Jews that rejected Him. And so when we come to verse 19, then we hear this. "You will say then, the branches," so He's saying, you Gentiles will say then, "the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in." The branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. What a wonderful thought that God would graft us in, the Gentiles, even though the Jews that this was supposed to come to have turned away and gone their own way. God has privileged us, Gentiles, and you, if you're watching and you're Jewish, then you have found your Messiah. But us as Gentiles, He's privileged us with this wonderful thing that we are grafted in. But He tells us that we shouldn't boast against that. Because why? Well, let's look at verse 20. "Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off," that's the Jews, "and you, Gentiles, stand by faith. So do not be high-minded, but fear." Why? Verse 21, "For if God did not spare the natural branches, fear lest He also may not spare you either." So this helps us to realize the conditional aspect of God's covenant relationship with His people, the conditional aspect of salvation, because that is part of the New Testament covenant. And He says to us as Gentiles, if God has cast off the Jews for their unbelief, don't you be boastful and proud, because God may break you those branches off that are totally unnatural to the root. You were a wild olive tree grafted in. He may break you off. So don't be high-minded. Don't think yourself better than the Jews, but be thankful that you have been grafted in to this root, to this systems, to this reality of God in His religion, the one true religion, which is that of we find in the Judeo-Christian context. And I say Judeo-Christian, Judeo so far as the Old Testament is concerned, but the New Testament then is all the fulfillments of all the types and everything that we find in the Old Testament, and we find Jesus to be the Messiah. So here we're looking onwards here. He said, let's go to verse 22, "Behold then the kindness and the severity of God. On those having fallen, severity, but on you, kindness. If you continue in the kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off." So here we find God's goodness, His goodness to then give the Gentile world, all the nations of the world, to give us the chance and the opportunity not to be aliens from God anymore, but rather to be those that are part of the commonwealth of Israel. Now we have obtained the promises. We're made nigh through the precious blood of Christ. So thank God that now we have been able to now benefit from that, even though we're not those natural branches. But He says over here, "Behold the kindness and the severity of God." So the kindness then is to the Gentiles, to the nations that believe on the Lord Jesus, but the severity is to the Jews. Jews. They, in unbelief, rejected their Messiah, and so severity has come upon them. Terrible judgments. We can see all throughout history the terrible judgments that had fallen upon the Jews. The Jews in the New Testament, they said, "May the blood of Jesus Christ be upon us and upon our children." And you have found that judgment has come across the Jewish people from that time until now. And now, whatever you may think about that, that is what the scriptures say. It is what we have seen in history. And of course, the awful atrocity of the Holocaust. We see that the Jews had severity of judgment upon them as they reject God. But he says, so severity on those that have fallen, that is the Jews, and kindness on us, the Gentile nations that believe. But listen to this, it's conditional. He said, if ye continue in the kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. So here it helps us to realize that salvation is conditional according to the New Testament. If we don't continue in the kindness of God, in the covenant that he's given to us in the new covenant, which is believe on the name of the Lord Jesus, repent and believe, walk with him, abide in him. We see all these conditional things inside of the new covenant, and especially that John 15, we say that he is the vine, we are the branches. And he said, if we don't abide in him, we're good for nothing but to be cut off and burned, which I don't know how else you would take that, except that that's a conditional element and aspect of the new covenant, is if we turn away from him, then the covenant is broken. No other power in heaven or on earth, no other man can separate us from the love of God except we ourselves. So he says here, kindness on you, the nations that are not Jewish, the people of those nations that are not Jewish, if you continue on that kindness. Otherwise, you'll be cut off also. But let's go to verse 23. And those also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. So here we find that it's not set in stone that the Jews now are in this time of severity. He said, if they repent, if they turn away from their rejecting God and his Messiah and their unbelief, and they turn to God in faith and repentance in this Messiah, he said, then they're not going to be cut off anymore. He said, they will be grafted in. He said, for God is able to graft them in again. Even though they've been cut off now and not a part of the branch, he's able to graft them in again. Praise God. That's like that for any one of us. If we turn away from God and go our own way, that doesn't mean that from this point onward we're doomed. But if we were to repent and turn to Jesus Christ again with all of our hearts, we can be grafted in again. We don't need to stay outside of the fold of God. So then when we move to verse 24, he says, for if you were cut out of the natural wild olive tree and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree. So here, that first half of this is talking about us Gentiles, those that are not Jewish but believed on Jesus Christ. He's equating us to a wild olive tree that have been cut off the wild olive tree and grafted in to this traditional cultivated olive tree. Now, I don't know if you've seen what grafting looks like. You could look it up on YouTube, but you can find that there was a lady that my dad pruned apple trees for. She had one apple tree in her backyard, and it was between two and four different types of apples growing off of the same trunk because they grafted different apple trees into one main trunk. And so he's saying here, the main trunk was the Jewish religion that had come from the beginning. That was the revelation of God. And he said, us as Gentiles, when we repented and believed on Jesus Christ, we were like the wild olive branch grafted into the cultivated olive branch. But the second half of verse 24, he said, if that could happen to us as believing Gentiles, how much more these, the Jews, being according to nature, will be grafted into their own olive tree. So it's completely natural for those Jews, if they're in unbelief now, but turn and repent and come back to God, it is perfectly natural for them to be grafted in again, because that's their home. That's their blood. That's everything, right? That is, they are the natural branches. And so God hasn't completely just cast them off. It's conditional. They've turned their back on Christ. And if you turn your back on Christ, then they're part of the conditional covenant. If ye continue, if we don't continue, that leads us to believe that then God leaves us to our own devices and our own choices in the way we go. But if we continue, the covenant and the blessings are ours. So let's move to verse 25. For I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, lest you should be wise within yourselves, that blindness in part has come to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Now, notice it says blindness in part. So partly God has allowed this to be going on for so long. One part is their unbelief and they rejected God. The other part is now God taking this whole situation and having a will that he's going to allow this to happen for as long as it has like that for a purpose. And what is that purpose? He says is the blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the nations has come in. That is until the Gentile nations come in fullness to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Then he says now they're in blindness, but then something's going to change. So verse 26, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. So does this mean that, is this the prophecy that all Israel will be saved? I'm not sure that we can come to that conclusion by looking at the entire context of this chapter, because Paul said that he wished to save some, right? What seems to be going on here is that there is a plan of salvation that is brought out, that they must repent and believe on this Messiah. They have rejected him, so they are outside of the fold, branches broken off. And he says that they need, if they come back in belief and they repent from their unbelief, they'll be grafted back in again. But here we find, he said, and so all Israel shall be saved. I believe that the expression is saying, and this is the manner of how Israel will be saved, by repentance and belief on Jesus Christ. Why? The second half of this verse. There shall come out of Zion, that is Jerusalem, the deliverer, out of Israel, the deliverer, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. That seems the most natural construction of what's going on. Why? Verse 27, for this is my covenant with them when I have taken away their sins. Now, this is a place that is spoken of elsewhere in the scriptures. Let me see if I can get to, I made a note about this here. He says, this is coming from Isaiah 59, 20 and 21. And he's saying the Redeemer will come to Zion and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My spirit who is upon you and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time forevermore. So the Redeemer will come to Zion and to who? To those from who, or to... and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob. So this is the idea here, that there will be people that are turning away from their sins. This is the construction there. It is being quoted by the Apostle Paul from Isaiah 59. So if we go back there, we get the full sense. He is not just giving them some kind of covenant by which it's just unconditional. The condition is he is their redeemer if they turn to him. That is the condition as we find back in Isaiah. So moving on to verse 28. Indeed, as regards the gospel, they, the Jews, are enemies for your sakes. But as regards the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. So for the gospel's sake, they are enemies to Christ. But because God has elected them, that special people, to be the container for the gospel and promised the fathers before time, they're still a special place in God's plan and in God's heart for those people. And so we're going to be looking onwards here. Why? Verse 29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. In other words, God promised to Abraham a long time ago that he was going to give them this particular covenant, and this covenant was wrapped up in the Messiah. So even though they reject Jesus Christ, that salvation is still for them now, today, and he will never, ever revoke it. Never. Wonderful. Verse 30, for as you also then disbelieved God, but now have been shown mercy through their disbelief, even so these also have not believed now, so that through your mercy, they may also obtain mercy. Now, I have seen that sometimes people may try and take this and just talk about solely land promises and all those kind of things. It seems to me very clear, if you were to look here in verse 29, he says, for the free gifts and calling of God are without repentance. What does he mean by those? Verse 30, for as you also then disbelieved, but now have been shown mercy through their disbelief. He's talking about belief and unbelief in their station in their lives right now as a result of their unbelief. But he said that we, the Gentiles, shall show mercy upon them, and in showing mercy on them, they're going going to come back to God, and that covenant that is always standing, that will never leave, is going to be right before them. They can come in anytime they choose if they just repent and believe on the name of the Lord Jesus. For God has shut up all in unbelief so that he might show mercy to all. We find that expression earlier in the book of Romans, that the whole world will become guilty. Every mouth will be stopped and the whole world guilty before God. He says all are shut up in unbelief that he can show mercy to all. And listen to this expression in verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. So even though they blew it, even though they turned away from God, God still has a plan to draw them back to himself. It's up to them whether they'll repent and believe. But it seems to be from these scriptures that God knows ahead of time that people are going to turn and repent, specifically the Jews. It seems to be a good number of them will return and repent and believe on the name of Jesus Christ. Verse 34, for who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became his counselor, or who first gave to him and it will be repaid to him? For of him, through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. So I started off in the beginning saying about the unstoppable love of God. Even if people have sinned and they've gone and turned away and done their own thing, God has opened a way for us. And it's always the fountain of Jesus Christ's blood spilled out for all of us if we will but repent and believe. God bless you. Your next step is to call 570-362-7782. If you're local, I'd love to get a coffee with you. If you're not, I'll talk with you over the phone. Every Thursday at 5:30 p.m., we have a street meeting in Wilkes-Barre Public Square. And at 6:30 p.m. following, we have a Bible study at Abide Coffee Shop. And then every Sunday at 4 p.m., we have a street meeting. We would love to see you there. You're invited.